Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, Wednesday, September the 9th, 2026, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. I am telling you, because of the Labor Day holiday, I'm a day behind, basically, is what I'm going to start off by saying this morning. I had every indication and inclination to call this Tuesday morning, and it feels like a Tuesday morning, but it's a Wednesday morning. I guess that happens every time we lose a day to a holiday, like Memorial Day, Labor Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Anytime we lose a Monday, you always have this in the week that follows. Popcorn Festival coming up this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here in Marion, and that is a big event that a lot of people are very, very excited for, and it brings a lot of people to the city of Marion, which, of course, the city is excited for, so we're all ready for the big popcorn festival coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here in Marion. Now, we're going to kick off the morning this morning talking about something that happened this weekend that was very serious, and I'm sure you all know about. According to a press release for Ohio gubernatorial candidate Dr. Amy Acton, an armed individual allegedly lunged at Acton during injuring multiple people in the process during a visit to the Canfield Fair on Sunday, September the 6th. The suspect was holding a phone or a type of camera during the incident. However, two firearms were discovered on the person. Officials on the scene outlined what happened during the alleged attack, stating that the suspect, identified as 38-year-old Patrick Havas, entered the MCDP tent and started pushing people out of the way to get to the front of the crowd, knocking two people over in the process. Members of Acton's security team assisted the Canfield Fair police. Havas has been taken to the Mahoning County Jail. The incident occurred, according to the police, around 2:45 p.m. According to the statement from the Mahoning County Sheriff's Office, as Havas pushed through the crowd and was confronted by Acton security team comprised of the Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers, the release outlines that it was at this time that two people were knocked to the ground. The Vivek Ramaswamy and Rob McCauley Campaign for Ohio released the following statement. Candidates should be able to meet with voters without having to worry about the threats of violence. What happened Sunday is completely unacceptable and has no place in politics, and we hope that no one was hurt, said Connie Luck, the communications director for Vivek for Ohio. Governor Mike DeWine himself weighed in on the incident, saying he's grateful that Acton was not hurt and that political violence is always unacceptable, regardless of where it takes place and which party is involved. Joining us this morning, we are so glad to be joined by the man who is running for Ohio House seat in District 58. He was at the Canfield Fair on Sunday when this all happened in the tent. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones John Bocheri. John, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. John, what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, Scott, so I was there. I was in the tent. I came in after Dr. Acton had begun her speech, and there was some commotion outside the tent, and I saw a gentleman direct another individual, the assailant, into the tent. He actually came barreling around the corner and in a very hurried fashion ran up into the front and held up his camera as if to tape, you know, what Dr. Acton was saying. He couldn't get a good view because some folks were holding posters and signs up, so he then went to the front of the tent, and Dr. Acton's security detail, which is comprised of Ohio State Highway Patrol officers, watched him, and then he began to move very aggressively towards Dr. Acton. He pushed several people out of the way. There were some senior citizens who were in the tent. They fell like dominoes right in front of Dr. Acton. In fact, the one gentleman, he was about 80, maybe 85 years old, he fell, hit his head on a table, I believe, and then was face down in the muck right in front of Dr. Acton. So after this, and this gentleman was a very large man. He would have been the left side of our high school offensive line. He was a very big man. It took three ununiformed, they were in plain clothes, State Highway Patrol officers to subdue him after he began pushing his way through the crowd and knocking folks over. They removed him from the tent. Dr. Acton began administering care to the elderly gentleman who fell in front of her and hit his head, and I proceeded to move over. I got him into a fireman's carry and put him on a chair, and then there was still some commotion outside, so myself and another veteran who was in the tent, an Army veteran, and I went outside to make sure everybody was okay and safe. And as we got out there, that's when the State Highway Patrol had him cuffed and on the bench. Once they had found that he had a brass knuckle, two weapons, and I believe there was a taser as well, they handed him over to the Canfield Fair Police Department, and they moved into the tent to extract her from that situation and moved her out of the tent and then subsequently out of the fair. So that was the sequence of events. I think the aggressive action that he took alarmed the State Highway Patrol, and that was the security detail that was charged with covering our gubernatorial candidates, and I'm glad they did. I mean, this fellow seemed armed to the teeth, and to do that and to be safe, I think, it was probably the best precautionary measure they could take.
Now, when you say aggressive, what would you define as aggressive?
Well, he was holding a camera over his head, which I think, you know, as fast as he was moving, I don't believe that folks who were standing in a different position could know exactly what that was. In fact, I was talking to a woman who was just in front of him. She had three children in the booth. She was actually taping the event, and then when he came through, he bumped into her, and then she stopped filming and then gathered her kids because she was frightened by the fact that he was moving that way. You know, he was calling out her name, Dr. Acton, and pushing people aside as he was moving towards her. Now, if anybody made that sort of movement like that towards any other elected official, I mean, we've seen things and reports on the news where folks had moved aggressively towards President Trump during during speeches and like that, and then the Secret Service jumped and sprang into action to remove him and to subdue the individual because of this aggressive nature. So I think that's the type of precautionary things that they're trained to do, and I'm glad they did it because here this gentleman was armed to the teeth.
John, you were quoted as saying this looked very coordinated. What do you mean by that?
There was another gentleman, as I said previously, that was directing traffic. There was another gentleman that was that is being investigated by Ohio State Highway Patrol. He actually was pointing into the tent, and I was watching the whole thing. He was actually pointing to the tent, like, she's right here, she's right here. And then this very large man came running around the corner and was moving aggressively, and that's when the State Highway Patrol started eyeing him.
Did either of the men, aside from what you've already said, say anything at any point?
Well, the only thing that was being said was from the larger man. I call him the tank. He was a big guy. He would have been the left side of our high school football team on the offensive line. Came barreling around the corner, and he was yelling, Dr. Acton, and basically she was in mid-sentence with her speech. She kind of stopped because it kind of startled everybody who was in the tent.
You know, John, a lot of people are wondering, if this was a smaller man, because you refer to him as a very large man, and I can see why that would be very intimidating. If this was a smaller man, if this was a guy who was 5'7 and 150 pounds, would it have seemed as intimidating?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't even know if I'm qualified to answer that type of question. I'm just an Air Force pilot. I'm not trained in those kind of things. I know the security detail for the Ohio State Highway Patrol are trained in those various security details and mannerisms, and they probably would be a better informational question to them. I don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
John, I just want to read yesterday the report we've got from the proceedings that happened yesterday involving this gentleman. The armed Ohio man, investigators said, set off a security scare involving Democratic gubernatorial candidate Dr. Amy Acton, pleaded not guilty in court Tuesday. Patrick Cavas, a 38-year-old from Canfield, pleaded not guilty to four misdemeanor charges, two counts of assault, one count of disorderly conduct, and one count of inducing panic in his arraignment in Canfield on Tuesday. Let's see here. They talk about the prosecutor, the Mahoning County prosecutor, Lynn Merrow, talks about the weapons. They say they were not used in any way, shape, or form. Everything he had was legal under the state of Ohio's open carry. Acton was unharmed, but according to law enforcement, Havas knocked two elderly people down, injuring them as he pushed through the crowd. A newly released report from the Mahoning County Sheriff's Office doesn't give much insight into Havas's motive, as the majority of the document is redacted due to what the agency calls investigatory work product. But according to the report, after knocking the two people to the ground, Acton's security team grabbed Havas as he approached the candidate. Tuesday, Merrow and Havas said Havas never got near Acton based on the video from the suspect's cell phone. The prosecutor said Havas turned the phone over to investigators after his arrest. The information we received is that the Acton campaign requested individuals to stop recording shortly before this incident occurred, said Merrow. So at this point, the video we have is the defendant's. It shows him walking into the tent, recording, and moving forward, calling out her name, said Merrow. Somebody in her security comes forward, and then his phone is either dropped or taken away. Merrow said in the preliminary search of Havas's phone, found no major plot. He appeared in the tent wanting to ask questions. They found no threats, no ongoing obsession, she said. Following a Tuesday's arraignment, defense attorney Gerald, who is representing Havas, did not answer any questions about his client's intention Sunday. The judge set a bond for $5,000. What do you make of all that, John?
Yeah, a couple things I'll add to that from my perspective. First of all, the county sheriff didn't arrive until like 15, 20 minutes after the event had taken place. He wasn't there. The state highway patrol was there. They saw everything, and their report is the one that is timely and follows a sequence of events. I actually spoke with the lieutenant yesterday, who was one of the gentlemen who was in the tent who extracted Mr. Havas when he was approaching Dr. Acton, and he said that we're trained to do this. When you move in an aggressive fashion like that towards a candidate, we just would rather neutralize the situation and find out what the motives are. Speaking of motives, we don't know what those are. We know that this individual, his brother worked for, was a political operative that worked for Senator Husted. Senator Husted, whom I've served with in the state legislature, released this gentleman because he had felony counts against him for his activity with a minor. And, this Mr. Havas was brother to that gentleman, he had given Ramaswamy $10,000 in a campaign contribution, and I think Dr. Acton commented on that. And so I don't know if that's a motive, but I'm certain that the investigators are going to run that down to the ground and understand that. As far as what the county prosecutor has said, I mean, I just look, you know, a man barreling towards, pushing people out of the way, going towards a candidate for public office like that, I don't think his intentions were to give Dr. Acton a hug, okay? So the state highway patrol was trained in these situations. They knew what to do, and they neutralized him and subdued him before, God forbid, if he had gotten 2 feet in front of the governor's candidate, armed to the teeth with brass knuckles, two guns, and a taser. I mean, was he really there to just ask a question? I don't know. I mean, that's a question everybody needs to ask themselves. And would you feel comfortable if you were in that situation with this gentleman barreling towards you like that? After the fact, you know, his intentions will be better understood after the investigation is completed. Lastly, I will say that Ms. Morrow, the prosecutor, is talking about, well, the only evidence that we have is his cell phone. It is indeed true that the Acton campaign folks asked everybody, supporters and volunteers alike, to stop recording and not record anything. The prosecutor seems to be discounting the several police reports that were filed and eyewitness accounts that were filed. So if the only proof that you need is the suspect's camera to have these charges thrown out, then I don't know that that's a fair administration of justice in my view.
John, you know what's peculiar about this is I think when most people are reading this today, they would say, well, the defense attorney would be the one defending Mr. Havas. But it seems in this case as if it's the prosecutor who would be who would be the one prosecuting this case. What's your read on that? Do you know?
Well, she is a former. I've known her. I went to high school with her. She's a former defense attorney, so perhaps her training kicked in on this one. But I don't know. I mean, we should wait for all the facts to come out. I thought this was very. Premature to make those kinds of assessments when the State Highway Patrol, the organization, the law enforcement entity is conducting the investigation, hasn't even completed it yet. So, anyway, we should just wait for all the facts to come out.
And none of us are mind readers, but is there a possibility that this man could have just been asking a question and maybe doing it in an aggressive way?
Scott, yeah, that could have been an outcome. It also could have been an outcome that he got 3 feet in front of her and pulled both of his weapons out and shot Dr. Acton, and that could have been an outcome, too. So, you know, just like the gentleman who was outside of Mar-a-Lago with a loaded firearm, didn't act on any of that, this gentleman was prosecuted in Florida and was given a life sentence. So, you know, he legally owned that weapon, from my understanding, so you don't know what people's intentions are. And look, we live in a very, very divided country right now. And I think that this incident should alarm every Ohioan, regardless of their political affiliation. You know, our disagreements and our difference of opinions can absolutely not lead to threats, intimidation, or violence against candidates, against our elected public officials, campaign volunteers, or citizens alike. And I just think that we all need to tone it down, and we need to get to the issues and talk about the issues, because this type of rhetoric that's been in this campaign has really driven people to anger and fear and intimidation and fear-mongering, and I don't like it. We need to run honorable campaigns. Look, I've been in the military for 32 years, okay? I've put my life on the line for this country. I don't like to see this in our nation. We need to get along. We need to look at each other as brothers and sisters. We have difference of opinions, but America has always gotten it right, and we need to keep moving forward.
John, just a few more things here. The report says that the Acton campaign had asked people to stop recording, and that's why there's no footage of this event. Now, I believe you did say that somebody was recording, but they were knocked out of the way, and that's why they stopped recording. Do you remember somebody saying not to record what was going on? Because a lot of people are confused with everybody having a cell phone nowadays, and this being a public event, how nobody has any footage of this.
Well, I'm actually disappointed. Yeah, I was actually recording her speech. I was probably two arms length away from her, and a staffer had asked us to stop recording, and I stopped like two minutes before this happened. And I think there's some concern, and there should be concern in many political campaigns out there. These, you know, the AI generated deep fake videos that get out there. I think there's some concern from both campaigns that that, you know, that citizens and voters alike do not know what's true and what's real. And that's a real problem in modern campaigns right now, is that anything that you see online, you don't even know that it's fake. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Scott, I have to ask my children. They have much better eyes for that kind of deep fake, and they're like, "Dad, that's AI generated." I'm like, "Really? It looks exactly like this person." So I think there's some concern out there about that, and that's why I believe, this is my assessment, that's not anything I've heard from a campaign, it's not their official statement, but that's been my assessment.
There are just two statements were released from the Acton campaign over the last couple of days, and I just want to get your read on both of these. Neither is very long, but here's the first one. In the wake of an armed man lunging toward Dr. Acton at the Canfield Fair, the Washington Post is highlighting the dark rhetoric and baseless lies Vivek Ramaswamy has spent months spewing about Dr. Acton on the campaign trail. In his stump speech, Ramaswamy regularly brands Acton a socialist, a label she rejects. "I'm running against a woman who would be, God forbid, the first socialist governor that the state has ever seen in our history," he said Sunday in an appearance at the Great Geauga County Fair in Burton. His rhetoric has taken darker turns in an address last month to the Buckeye Firearms Association Patriot Fest in Hilliard, Ohio. He said the Second Amendment was made for times such as these, was made for generations like the one that I live in today. Socialism is back in America with a vengeance. Now, those statements, of course, were made before what happened Sunday, but what do you make of that statement from the Acton campaign?
Well, what I make it, you know, I think that Vivek Ramaswamy has run, and look, let me just say this. I have served with many Republican governors. I've served with, you know, Voinovich, Bob Taft, John Kasich. Okay, I just believe that I've never heard this type of campaign from a Republican candidate before. This seems deeply vicious and personal with Mr. Ramaswamy, and I think that some of his statements are built on misinformation and fear mongering, and I think this kind of reckless rhetoric, you know, can drive some of the most dangerous impulses in people, and you've got to be careful about what we say and how we say it. You know, and I just think that you can't move at this from it almost sounds desperate, to be honest with you. Having to label a person and use this type of tactic, I think, in a campaign, it just shows and demonstrates just desperateness. I never saw that from other candidates who had run for governor, and I'm deeply concerned about it. I mean, this is our country. We've got to treat people with dignity and respect. You know, I think Mr. Ramaswamy is brave for running for office. I think Dr. Acton is brave for running for office and courageous. And let's make this a focus on issues and ideas and not personal attacks and insults driving people to anger and fear.
And the other statement that has come in the last few days, the Ohioans for Amy Acton campaign released the following statement after Vivek Ramaswamy, his allies in the Ohio Republican Party have continued to amplify conspiracy theories online. The Ohio Republican Party and Ramaswamy's campaign allies continue to amplify dangerous misinformation from Laura Loomer, a fringe conspiracy theorist. Vivek Ramaswamy needs to condemn these malicious lies immediately, said David Pepper, Lieutenant gubernatorial candidate for Ohio. What do you make of that, John?
I don't know. I don't have a comment on Laura Loomer. I don't know who she is. You know, I just don't follow that. I mean, I think some of these things, if you start turning over the deep, you know, the rocks and expose the deep underbelly of the internet, there's all kinds of craziness out there. And I just think that people need to focus on you know, understanding the humanity of both of these candidates who are trying to run and represent Ohio. And it should be about ideas and issues and not labeling and name-calling people and this kind of divisiveness, I think is very dangerous and detrimental to the whole process. I mean, you're getting folks who are just not going to run for office because of this type of campaign or this type of of tactics that are used in our modern day campaigns. It's not healthy for democracy.
And just one more thing I want to read here to get your response on. Last week we learned, I believe a week ago today, that there would be no debates in this gubernatorial race at this particular point. That's how it stands. Ramaswamy accepted two invitations from CNN and an Ohio station, and Dr. Acton released this statement. Dr. Acton's focus is on talking with Ohioans, not platforming a scam artist who spreads baseless lies about her and her family, uses AI to falsely paint her as someone with a substance abuse problem, and shames Dr. Acton for being sexually abused as a child while Vivek stands with predators and abusers. Ramaswamy and his billionaire buddies have spent more than $50 million on disgusting inaccurate attack ads that have been condemned as the most vile and repulsive lies Ohio has ever seen. What do you make of no debates and the response from the Acton campaign last week?
Well, I can't speak to that. I'm not a spokesperson for the campaign, but I will tell you that it's my understanding that if this was a campaign on issues and ideas, there probably would be debates. But, and this is just my assessment, perhaps, you know, there's a feeling out there that, this has become vicious and personal, and that it's not ever going to be about campaign ideas. You know, I mean, do we want to talk about Mr. Ramaswamy's support for data centers, the fact that he wants to eliminate Medicaid in Ohio, that he wants to strip away funding sources for our local police and fire and libraries and veteran services and schools? I mean, he has talked about closing and consolidating public universities, and he won't commit to saying he wouldn't close Youngstown State University, of which I would represent and where my wife went to school. Those issues and ideas aren't talked about. He's calling her a socialist and, all the vile things that you just repeated there. How about talking about the ideas? I'll just give you this in a side shot. I was playing in a charity golf outing here for our local high school, and I was playing with two Republicans. They're friends of mine. Their sons serve in the military, and I've written letters of support for them. And they asked me, they said, what do you make of this guy who's attacking Dr. Acton? He's attacking a medical doctor, saying she's not qualified and everything. And they said, I haven't heard one thing this guy is going to do for Ohioans. What is he going to do for me? How's he going to make my life any better? And I said, well, that's something you ought to ask him if you go to his rally next time. And they just said, well, I can't vote for the guy. So I think people are being turned off by this type of campaign tactic. Talk about the ideas and issues that are going to make Ohio great.
You know, John, and trust me, we do not want anybody hurt. We don't want any candidates hurt. And people should be free in Ohio to go out and everywhere else for that matter and campaign for any office. But I think one of the things that's coming up now, because this is such a hotly contested gubernatorial race, the polls show it being very close. People are very passionate about these two candidates, seemingly even more than the Senate race for whatever reason. In Dr. Acton's statement last week about the debate, she says Vivek stands with predators and abusers. A lot of people think that is a very harsh comment. And certainly, Vivek, we see the commercials. Those commercials are very, very harsh, I think, and the truth in them is what it is, and sometimes not what it is. And bringing these things up days after what happened on Sunday, and when we find out what happened on Sunday exactly, hopefully we'll have a better idea. But to bring up what he said to the Buckeye Firearms Association, or to bring up calling her a socialist, putting that back out there, isn't this a little emblematic of the problem in this particular race, is that it has become so nasty?
Well, it has become vicious and deeply personal. I wonder if the Republicans bemoan the tactics that were run in the last campaign 2 years ago, where they were saying that Senator Brown stood with every violent and vile deviant in America. I mean, there was no outrage on either side, or I should say on the right, from that. In those campaigns, those campaign tactics were embraced. But, you know, it's okay for him to go after her and talk about her personal life and the abuse that she suffered when she was a child. But the minute he said, you know, she says something about the fact that he has, you know, taken money from a guy who has these felony charges, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer those type of questions, but I do know that, you know, people are tired of this. They are absolutely fatigued and tired of this. You know, when you don't have strong ideas that are popular, you know, is he going to stand with data centers? Is he going to stand with flock cameras? I mean, those are the things that people want to know about. And if you can't talk about those issues because your record is weak on those, to resort to personal attacks, I think, is just you know, it's shameful, and it's dishonorable. This is not type of an honorable program and campaign that, you know, previous Republican gubernatorial candidates would have run. Voinovich, Taft, you know, Kasich, all those folks that I ran, you know, and served with, those folks would have never run this type of campaign.
John, do you have faith in the Mahoning County Sheriff's Office and the prosecutor after what we heard yesterday?
I would like to see the Attorney General run this case to the ground and collect all the facts. I just think that there's a lot of emotion and tension and passions here in Mahoning County, and I would just like to see that removed and either an independent party or the Attorney General themselves do the investigation.
And something else very important to mention here as well, Mr. Havas must surrender his guns and may not speak to the media. What, I'm sure at some point he's probably going to speak to the media and give his side as to what happened here. Would you like to hear what he would have to say?
Absolutely, 100%. I would love to hear what he has to say. And, you know, I hope, you know, if I'm there to ask him questions, I would say, dude, you're a tank. Why would you come barreling through a crowd like that, you know, holding something over your head that, you know, perhaps the State Highway Patrol and a security detail could not identify? And to do that, if you did that at President Trump's rallies, or if you did that at, you know, Senator John Ossoff's rallies, I mean, the same thing would have happened. Why did you do this? I would love to hear his explanation of these sequence of events.
And again, you were there. Did you feel that there was a real level of danger directed at Dr. Acton?
Well, when this guy came barreling through the crowd and he started knocking down people, I was just shocked. And then, you know, after those people tumbled, sort of like dominoes, and again fell right in front of Dr. Acton, and I saw the security guards grab him. After that moment of, they tell you the shock and awe of the moment, the abrupt. I'm an airline pilot too, so you know the shock of you experience in an emergency or some situation like that. Then my military training kicked in, and I jumped to help this man who was laying face down because he was sort of moaning, and I didn't know how bad or you know he was injured or hurt. So started trying to aid self-aid buddy care to this individual. Dr. Acton was working on him as an MD. She was, you know, saying, where does it hurt and all that. Anyway, yeah, I would like to ask this gentleman why he moved that way and alarmed the security detail of the State Highway Patrol.
Did you think there was some level of alarm?
Yeah, I was concerned. And I will tell you that my first reaction was just extreme disappointment. I was just like, really? This is going to happen right here in front of us this time? Why? Why? And then I got, you know, into it, and my military training kicked in after that.
Well, was there, in your mind, a real worry that something might happen to Dr. Acton?
Again, I'm not trained in that situation. I see why the State Highway Patrol acted in the fashion that they did. They do this every day. They're charged with, you know, guarding and protecting both gubernatorial candidates, and I see why they reacted that way. Looking back on it, you know, I could see why they law enforcement believed that they needed to subdue this gentleman and just extract him from that situation.
What was Dr. Acton's response, immediate response, and other people in the tent when this was going on?
Well, there were many people who were frightened. by this. In fact, I described to you earlier in the show the woman who had three of her boys there and was filming this, and she was frightened by the fact that this gentleman bumped into her, and then she immediately grabbed her three boys and took them outside the tent. I feel like Dr. Acton was angry that this happened, that this is not the way that campaigns should be conducted. You know, that there's intimidation and fear that's out there, and she was more angry that this poor older gentleman was face down in the muck and injured in front of her.
Do you think, John, that this event, for whatever it ends up being and whatever we find out was really going on there that day, do you think that this should be used as a campaign tool in any way? Because a lot of people, we've seen a lot of press releases since this. We read two of them earlier. A lot of people feel that seemingly it's being used as a bit of a campaign tool. Do you see that at all?
Look, I would not want, just like when President Trump was shot at last year, or 2 years ago when he was running for president, which I was deeply, deeply offended by. I remember I coach a girls high school or a girls softball team, a travel softball team, and when I heard this, I was extremely disappointed. And I would, you don't want this to be the norm in American politics. And just like when it happened then, and it happened now, I think we need to use it as an awareness tool, not a campaign tool, an awareness tool that we need to tone down the rhetoric, and we need to treat all of our brothers and sisters here in America with dignity and respect. And we may have difference of opinion, but at the end of the day, we're all Americans. We need to look at each other that way.
Is there anything we can do in under 60 days to go till this election to make this any better, the climate that we're in?
Yeah, I want to thank you for reaching out to me to come on to your show and to talk about this. And this is how two grown-ups do it. We talk, we sort things out, and we make it right. And I hope that our politics can follow this sort of discussion and dialogue and get to the facts and get to a better understanding for your listeners and for all Ohioans. So thank you for doing that. I think that at the end of the day, we have got to understand that both candidates, I've been in politics long enough to say this, Democrats and Republicans alike are like a married couple going to a party, right? We fight and argue about, why did you turn left? We should have turned right. We're going to be late. Now we're stuck in traffic. Oh, my God. We're never going to make it to the party. Well, you know what? We always do make it to the party. Americans always make it to the party. And we've got to look at each other with the same dignity and respect that a married couple does in going to a party. So I thank you and applaud you for this, and I hope that we can do this often.
I do too. And John, just one final question here to wrap this all up. Is do you think that there is, for as nasty as the ads have gotten and as nasty of the things said as they have gotten in this particular race, do you believe that in any way, as you said, a married couple, Republicans and Democrats, do you believe that in any way the Republican side here would want to see any harm come to the Democratic side or vice versa?
I don't believe that. I always look to our better angels, on our shoulders, and I don't think that Vivek Ramaswamy or Dr. Amy Acton wants anything ill to happen either. Vivek looks like he has a beautiful family. Dr. Acton, I've met her husband. I mean, they seem very genuine and authentic. I don't think either candidate wants that. What politicians fail to understand is that the rhetoric that we use can drive some dark impulses from people, and how we say things matter. And if there's one thing I've learned in politics and learned in being a military commander, I've commanded both squadrons and wings for the United States Air Force, is how we say things matter. And people can take things out of context. I used to joke with my staff when I was in charge of the Pittsburgh Air Force Base. I asked for a glass of water, and my staff would build me a drinking fountain. You ask for a sandwich, and they bring you a gyro hut. So how you say things. People are trying to do they're trying to do good, and they want to they want to help you. And in doing that, how you say things matter. So it's just important that we guard our words. And the impact that they can have.
John, two quick questions here, and then I promise I'll let you go. Mr. Havasa's got a $5,000 bond at this particular point. Would you be worried or nervous if he was back on the streets or at home?
I don't know Mr. Havas. I don't know anything about him. I just know what I've read about him. I don't know. I know he's a very large man, and again, I would want to ask him some questions. I don't know who he is. So I would leave that up to the law enforcement, to folks and professionals who are trained to make those sort of judgments and assessments. But I still would like to ask him some questions.
And with under 60 days left to go in this particular race, which is very, very close, a dead heat, a dead tie, as most people have called it, who do you think is going to win with 60 days left to go?
I don't know. It's a jump ball. Ohio is, when I ran, I served in the state legislature and served in Congress. It was can still be the quintessential swing state. And I was serving in one of the quintessential swing districts, and it's a jump ball. I think it's a jump ball right now. I don't know who comes out on top. It's going to be driven by turnout, who I think is most effectively speaking to the issues of the day. The issues of the day are, look, people can't afford to put gas in their tank. They can't afford housing. I read an article yesterday that talked about the fact that even in these low-income housing units across the country, people can't afford the rent that is beginning to match, what everyday people pay. And it's getting so expensive to live. And when is the middle class going to get a break in this country? I just don't understand. I mean, just wages are not keeping up. We rank 41st in wage growth. It's just shameful that Ohio cannot turn the corner. And I think it comes down to some of the policy decisions that are being made at the State House.
And John, just to clarify one thing that you said earlier, the size of this man did matter in this case. It certainly does not implicate guilt or innocence, but being as big as he was, you've mentioned that a few times, that definitely had an impact on what happened on Sunday.
Again, I'm not qualified to make that statement. I just know if this guy was moving towards me in the manner that he was, and I was there, in that situation, my military training and defensive posture would have kicked in.
John, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning and giving us the time. I do think conversations and candor like this does help people understand what's going on, especially from somebody who was there. And I wish you luck in your race in Ohio's 58th. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can talk again.
Hey, thank you for having me, and one last thought to leave all your listeners with. Look, greatness for Ohio and greatness in our political debate comes from the agency of others, lifting other people up. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
John Beaucherry, he is running in Ohio's 58th district for that particular seat. So there's a firsthand account of what happened on Sunday in Canfield at the fair with Dr. Amy Acton, and the fallout with what happened yesterday. So it's interesting. Does anybody have anything to say? We have a couple minutes left here, or 3 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz. We've got about 3 minutes before we go to the break here. I don't know at this particular point. I think it's very interesting what is being said by the prosecutor in that neck of the woods in Ohio. I think it's unfortunate that we don't have any video of this except for what was on Mr. Havas's cell phone. I think obviously, tensions are high in this particular race. A lot of things have been said. A lot of things have went over the bridge, or over the dam, I should say, in this particular race. And I think it does make people very nervous. And it's unfortunate that we are in the place that we're in now, but hopefully it gets better as we go along. Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944, 58 minutes past the hour. And again, we do want to thank John Bochery, Ohio's 50 gentleman running for Ohio's representative seat in Ohio's 58th congressional district. So that's where we are right now, and that's what we know, and we'll see where this all goes. But it's an interesting story, and the national media has certainly latched onto it. And maybe we'll take some time and look at our political scene and try to understand what is going on and what is not going on and why we campaign the way we campaign. And maybe things like this won't happen. I don't know. I think it's certainly something to look at, and it's certainly something that people will talk about for quite some time. We're coming up on the break here. We'll come back and talk about a whole lot more after this break, but hope you enjoyed the interview this morning. I think it was very candid. I think we learned a lot. I think hopefully it gives people listening some kind of idea of what happened on Sunday at the Canfield Fair. And at this point, hopefully we can move forward from this with a better understanding of how to conduct these campaigns. And as I said in the interview, I don't think we want to see anybody hurt who's running for office. All right, here comes the break, and we're going to come back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.